Welcome to Unlocking Brand, a part of our Siegel & Gale Says podcast series. Here, our global brand experts host live case studies, deliver actionable insights, and answer key questions on the topics that matter to brand marketers today. In this episode, we explore our work for Exelon, the nation's largest utility company. Jessica Balfour, Vice President of Corporate Communications and Marketing at Exelon, joins our Group Director of Brand-Led Change, Gretchen Hustis, and Managing Director, Matt Egan, for a conversation on how brands drive performance before, during, and after a split. This is Siegel & Gale Says.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Siegel & Gale's Unlocking Brand, our virtual event series where our global consultants deliver actionable insights, host live case studies, and answer key questions on the topics that matter to brand marketers today. Each episode, we unlock one topic from brand purpose to strategy, design, naming, communications, brand experience, and more. Today, I'm joined by Jessica Balfour, who is Vice President, Corporate Communications and Marketing at Exelon. Welcome, Jessica. And Gretchen Hustis, our Director of Brand-Led Change here at Siegel & Gale. Thank you so much for joining. Our goal today is to have an in-depth conversation that will explore how brand can unite a workforce, spark new thinking, and foster positive change during and after a corporate separation. So let's dive in. Jessica, our partnership was an exciting one. We first met during a pitch process shortly after Exelon's announcement that it would separate into two companies, creating on one side the new Exelon, the nation's largest fully integrated utility company with six electric and gas utilities across major U.S. population centers. And then on the other side, Constellation, the largest carbon-free power producer with nuclear, hydro, wind generation, and also a leading customer-facing, market-driven platform directly serving millions of homes and businesses across the U.S. So this was a complicated spin, complicated to execute, of course, and also really, I think, challenging to execute. So Jessica, I'd love to kind of rewind to the beginning a bit. When we first met, there wasn't a lot of clarity yet around brand. How would these new entities be named? How would they leverage legacy identities? How would they be positioned to employees and to the marketplace? What would carry forward? What would be new? Let's start by talking about the separation itself. How, in your own words, would you just describe the rationale behind the separation?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me.
Sure.
As we think about the Exelon separation, it was an interesting time, especially if you think about the utility industry as a whole. Exelon was one of the few remaining energy companies that had an integrated chain, meaning we had the nuclear assets and the generation assets that were producing energy. We were wholesaling it from a Constellation perspective. And by the way, we also were sending it through our poles and wires and distributing it to homes and businesses across all of the utilities that we owned. At that time, the time that we decided to separate, we had just come off of integrating PHI Holdings or Pepco Holdings, which is Atlantic City Electric, Delmarva Power, and Pepco Maryland in DC into the business that was done through an acquisition back in 2017. So, you know, we had a pretty large business. We were operating as a Fortune 100 company. But of course, when we looked at the trends across the market, there was need for investment in our nuclear plants and legislation. And as we thought about electrification moving forward, this really was the opportunity to separate the two businesses and unlock some of the value that had been sitting there and really in think about this in a totally different way. How should you be running a utility business and investing and ensuring that you're moving towards the clean energy transition and delivering? And then on the other side, how do you really think about producing the clean energy and what should that look like? And are they better businesses when they're separated? And so that was the decision that was made. Of course, then forces the hand of separate from a brand perspective. Quite literally, we called it Exelon Generation. Like, we weren't very creative in the naming of our nuclear assets, Exelon Generation. And you had Constellation as another brand, and then you had Exelon, and then you had six utility names. So we really were a house of brands.
Yeah. At the time. That's a lot to kind of unravel. And so the decisions made and the rationale is clear and everyone understands the fundamentals. I guess it's just a fundamental mindset shift to start thinking about these as two independent businesses. And I guess it's kind of drives you to kind of rethink some of the fundamentals. I guess going back and thinking ahead to the sort of Exelon future, what were some of the key challenges that were top of mind for you? And what were some of the big unknowns, do you think, just as you started the brand and communications process?
Yeah, I mean, I think that as we looked at how the business was going to separate, we knew the generation assets along with the wholesale business was going to stay together. There also were some smaller entities within there. We called Constellation Home, BGE Home, which if you think about it, these are the individuals that help service your air conditioner, your water heaters, right? Like those types of services. And so not necessarily tied directly to some of the work we do, but it also makes it a lot of sense as a business. So those were all going to go together. And the remaining assets were going to be the utilities. Again, we are branded completely different. We looked all different. Yeah. And I think the one hard part for us is, do we use this opportunity to rename these entities? Where's the real brand value? And how do we then distribute that? What are some of the risks that we have knowing that if we keep the Exelon name for the utility business, it had previously been really kind of closely tied to nuclear plants, really, in an external facing way. And so all of that became, I would say, complicated pretty quickly. And so when we met, right, the first thing I think we asked for is, you've got to help us even think through at a high level, what are we naming these two corporate entities?
Yeah.
And what does that mean? And let's start there before we even touch visual identity.
Right, right. Well, that's a great place to start. I did think it would be helpful since it was a more complicated transaction and evolution with the simple output, I should say. But I thought it'd be helpful if we could share just two images as a top line kind of visual reference for this brand change. So I could ask, there we go. Thank you so much. What we have here is a before and an after. So on the left side of your screen is Exelon before separation. And then on the right is the after. We have Constellation, which retained its name and identity, which was shared with Exelon as the generation and market platform brand. And then we have a new Exelon with a new visual identity. And I think importantly, for the first time, each of the six regional utilities aligned to that shared brand. They had used in the past an endorsement as an Exelon company. So that was something that had been in market and Exelon had been kind of seeded as an idea across these different geographies. But for the first time, these brands really came together. And some of these brands are historical brands that have been in market for, in some cases, hundreds of years since the early 1800s. And so they have a lot of legacy and they're quite connected to their communities and to their customers, of course. I guess, Jessica, why do you keep the name Exelon for RemainCo? I mean, like, could you talk us a little bit through the thinking there? We're of course part of the conversation, but we'd love to hear your thoughts.
We understood very clearly that when we looked at the research, we started having the conversations with some of the focus groups and even looking at the reputation research that we had done prior to separation. We understood that the Constellation and Exelon names did have meaning. There was awareness with both of those names. And so as part of the conversation with leadership, there was an agreement that we can rethink the brand strategy, but the names need to stay consistent.
Yeah.
And part of that is a calculation from a financial perspective.
Yeah.
Right? And we have in both businesses at the time and now, you know, post-separation, I can speak specifically to the utilities. We have a lot of physical hard assets, buildings, trucks, all sorts of signage that we have to have for safety reasons, for public awareness reasons, the plants themselves. From a nuclear perspective, are highly branded. Yeah. So when we think about what does this really mean in terms of a change for both entity financially, it was, okay, if we kept these names, could we lessen some of the financial burden there? And the decision was, of course, to do that. everything that we do is done with the customer in mind, because ultimately at the end of the day, we have customers that are really focused on their bills. And so we first and foremost, we wanted to make sure any cost to do all of this work wasn't going to impact the rates that our customers pay each year, each month and each year. And that was really important. And we had to do it in a savvy way.
Yeah.
So that decision was made somewhat for us based off of those financials.
Yeah. It's funny hearing you step through it. The biggest name change in a way was for the generation operation, which, you know, you had, you know, an entity that was going to market as Exelon Generation and then adopted the name Constellation across the country. But on the identity side, the biggest change was really in Exelon. So, you know, you mentioned financials and, you know, we also, you know, learned through this process that these names were powerful in market. They had equity. And, you know, as we all know, recreating that base level of equity from scratch is quite difficult. But, you know, we did decide to evolve the Exelon identity in a pretty substantial way. What did that represent? And kind of, you know, what, can you talk about the dynamics of that decision, you know, from your view?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was change for everyone, right? Yeah. So they got Constellation kept the existing logo and the generation plans got to keep their existing logo, but changed their name. We got to keep the Exelon name, but we're going to change our logo. So everybody got like a healthy amount of change here. But I think with the Exelon brand refresh, redesign, new brand, whatever you want to call it, the biggest piece that we all realized is as we went to separate, we were going to have to tell a very consistent, concise story around who Exelon was and how these six operating companies work together to deliver better value for the customers and communities they operate in. And if we were going to do that effectively, we can't fight each other from a brand perspective, from an actual look and feel perspective. We can't be really kind of creating these artificial silos with this new business. And one of the ways that we could get after that immediately to signal the change and how we were going to work together as one company moving forward was to quite literally make ourselves look the same.
Yeah.
Which is what we opted to do.
That was, I know, a big shift in terms of just the way, you know, some of your internal stakeholders viewed themselves and viewed their relationship to each other and brands are kind of symbolic of a business and a structure. What were some of the challenges getting buy-in for that change and getting people on board with the idea of sharing an identity and sharing a brand?
Well, I think you said it up front. You have brands that are hundreds of years old. I mean, BGE, Baltimore Gas and Electric, 200 plus years old.
Yeah.
The idea of changing their name or their logo or their colors didn't necessarily sit well, right? And so those conversations and the way that we got to this new look took place over a period of times. We went through some of the wildest conversations on color theory, on whether or not we were capitalizing letters or keeping them out lowercase, and are people going to mispronounce the name of our business if we do it this way or that way, and our customers not going to pay their bills because they're not going to know who we are anymore. I want to say this in the right way. We had a lot of education to do, and we also had a show at times, right? That the ideas that some people might have might not be the best look. I think at one point we mocked up our logo that you have today with all of the existing brand colors, red, two different blues, a green, right? And we put it all together. We're like, see, this doesn't look good, right? And like, could we all make the change together? And so a lot of this was making sure that we created the forums to hear the concerns, to understand their perspective from our employees, from our leadership teams, from our customers and the community. When we think about our legislators and regulators and policymakers, and investors, what are they thinking about when they think Exelon, and how does this all play into that? We had to create the space for those conversations.
Yeah.
And the time. There's a little bit of this, which is just time and taking people slowly through the process to get them where you need them to be and to make some decisions.
Mm-hmm. I guess, and we're jumping around a bit now, but I think that's fine because I think it's an interesting part of the change. I guess 2 years in, looking in the rearview mirror, how's your perspective changed about those conversations? It sounds like it's the right process, I think, and those are necessary part of the process. But I imagine now these companies are operating in a new way, and it just feels, does it feel natural? How has it kind of changed the dynamic of your inner workings as a company and a brand?
I think it feels very natural. It feels fresh and new. And that is not something that you get a lot in the utility industry.
Right.
Change is not something that we talk about a lot when it comes to utilities, although they're constantly evolving. We are constantly evolving as a utility to make sure that we're delivering the most reliable service. We haven't always found a way to talk externally about the good work that we do. And this forced us to start thinking that way. We have to look differently. We have to act differently. We have to talk about our business differently. And it very much felt like a fresh new start for this company that has hundreds of years of backstory, but is really embarking kind of on a new destination, or, you know, we're really on a new pathway here. And so from that perspective, I think it's been great. I think if you would have asked me 2 years ago, how did it all go? I was just happy to get past day one. We were tired. We had gone through 2 years of really developing this, creating the plans, getting it ready.
Yeah.
Within the first week, we had so many individuals, some of which who questioned it and were hesitant, but came along for the ride anyway, come back and be like, I've been getting really good feedback. We heard from governors that they loved the new look, that this was fresh and different. And you could tell that Exelon really was going to start showing up in a way that they hadn't before. And that, I think, epiphany for some of our leaders and for some of the parts of the business that were worried, that changes everything, right? That makes it all worth it. And so now that we don't have this brand fighting us, how are we starting to work together in ways that we hadn't thought about before, or that we didn't do before? Like, where are the savings in the organization? This process, like, we've started peeling back the layers, and you start realizing all the things that we had been doing to support all these different brands, right? And now, like, we can have one vendor, of course, do all of our, our actual like fire retardant gear that we use in the field. We had one vendor doing it. They had four different systems set up because they all had to be branded differently and they all had different standards. That goes away now. Things like that started popping up pretty much in every part of the business that we had been talking to.
I guess what I'm hearing you say is you're excited to get through it. It had been two challenging years, and in a sense, you're like, right, you're done. But actually, it sounds like it was just the beginning. In a positive way. And then it's enabled you to, I guess, just functionally and operationally and financially operate marketing and communications in a more efficient way. But it also, I guess, has kind of changed the way people work together and are kind of thinking across the business. So love to hear that. You know, one of the things for us was just thinking about the fundamental purpose of a utility is so clear, and the purpose, line that we've developed was powering a cleaner, brighter future for our customers and communities. And it's such a fundamental and clear and universal purpose that I think when you think of it at that level, there are so many distinctions between regions and legacy and history and these really terrific utilities that are operate under the Exelon umbrella, but they all really kind of do serve that same purpose. So our goal was to kind of reflect that, and then with this energy wave symbol, just bring modernity and bring that idea, that simple idea to life in a really new way. Let's talk about employees and engaging employees. I want to bring Gretchen to the conversation as well. Thank you so much for joining us, Gretchen. But you talked about engaging the different utilities and thinking about the business possibly in a slightly different way, operating in a different way. Let's talk about the Exelon employees. One of the objectives of the program was to make sure that we brought employees along to make sure that they understood and embraced the change. I'll start with you, Jessica, but what were your biggest concerns about the employee base during the time of the separation?
I mean, we had heard for so long that our employees were so, that they value their local brand and were connected to their local brand in a way that you weren't going to be able to undo, right? Yeah. Like, okay, Jessica, that's really great. We like this new logo, but don't you take away that ComEd red or that Pico blue, because that they're going to go nuts, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know that actually happened. It Right. I think that this was a process in which we had to engage employees, and Gretchen can talk about the focus groups and everything that we heard from them. But we started with listening, and like we did with other stakeholders, tried to bring our employee base along for the ride. Mm-hmm. That meant we announced the new brand and the look and the feel to employees well before we were ready to actually go out on day one. So prior to separation, I believe 2 months, maybe a little 2.5 months prior to separation, they got to see what was coming, and they got a hype video and could provide comments and talk about it. And mm-hmm. they had assets that they could go share with their teams. And so we really focused on making this a internal employee first kind of brand that we could rally around and encourage our employees to talk about and provide feedback on. And I do think that that is one of the best things that we did, because it really did start to bring people on board. And of course, then we picked some high visibility places on day one to really show up as a new brand. So we think about some of the signage in Baltimore on our regional headquarters building. That went up pretty darn quickly. All of our digital assets changed on day one, and then have slowly made a progression to the new websites that will be launched here shortly. So those types of things, I think, were visible to employees. It reflected some of their feedback. And more importantly, it felt like something new that they owned mm-hmm. and could be a part of. And boy, you know, the branded merchandise has flown off the shelf ever since.
I love to hear that. Gretchen, I would love to hear from you, just as, you know, leader of S&G's brand-led change practice. You know, you clearly had your eye on employees and culture from the beginning of this process. Why, in your view, is it so important to think about culture and employee change in the context of, you know, a branding program? And really, just how do you think about the intersection of kind of brand and culture in a moment like this?
Thanks, Matt. Yes, yeah, this is what I think about all the time, every day. And indeed, at this juncture, what we were thinking about is, you know, culture really for us is the other side of the coin to brand. And our philosophy, you know, is that we can come up with all this promise that we want and say we're about this as an organization. But if our employees don't believe it and don't buy into it, and actually it isn't authentic to what it feels like as we work here day by day, like, it's just false marketing. You know, I mean, it's just not true to who we are. So I was very interested to find out the culture from the beginning, for understanding also knowing the objective was to bring people together under this unified brand. How different are these cultures? That was a really important thing, because we can't bring unification if we have major outliers, you know, and things that feel really different. Luckily, there was a lot of alignment. There was a lot of alignment. And to Jessica's point earlier, we heard like this will never work at the beginning. But as soon as you started talking to employees about what they value and what they cherish and what makes them unique, it was pretty darn similar across the utilities. And it was helpful for them to see that too, because they could also start to unlock that there is potential in us being more of one. The listening sessions were kind of, you know, listening to them, but beginning to see the change as we talked to them about this. And they could start to see like, yeah, we should be sharing more best practice. Yes, we do back each other up operationally, but maybe that could go further. Yes, we have same talent needs. You know, all these ideas started to kind of bubble up when they could see that they're more similar. But at the end of the day, if the employees don't buy into it, they're not going to behave in line with the promise. So culture is
interesting. I feel like, and I think it is just human nature, you know, just kind of this won't work or a knee jerk response to just, why would I think about this differently? And I think we see that with up and down organizations, you know, and a lot of different organizations. So what I'm hearing from you, Gretchen, is kind of getting past that initial response and digging a little deeper and looking for kind of commonalities and what's really at play here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes it's not that easy, right? So sometimes you find there is a little bit of this going on. Like, we want to head the brand in this direction, but actually culturally and some of these things that we find are not quite aligned. And then we have a different job to do. But that was not the case. You know, on this instance, a lot of it was pushing in the same direction, in the right direction.
The thing that I know came through in some of those interviews and the conversations we had is this idea of mutual assistance that exists pretty uniquely in our industry. Yeah. For those that don't know, when a storm happens, when there is a significant storm, there are mass power outages. We can use Puerto Rico as a great example. I saw what happened in Puerto Rico. It was not good. Something similar had happened in Houston, I think 2 years before. These storms that we are seeing are bigger and bolder and doing a lot more in terms of destruction, especially to the utility infrastructure. And what we have in this industry is the ability, when that happens, regardless if it's an Exelon company or not, if we can release crews to help support that restoration service, we do. We quite literally put hundreds of vehicles and different pieces of equipment on barges and floated it down to Puerto Rico to help restore after their hurricane issue. And that is something that we do quite often during the year, whether it's to our assets or not. And I think because of that part of our industry, you have this idea of like, we can actually work together. We know how to work together. You don't even actually have to be part of the same company to know how to work together. And that was something that we really tried to lean into and use and talk about in terms of this rebrand of like, we do this all the time. We work together all the time in a really effective way.
Yeah. Yeah.
This should be an easy transition.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a unique aspect and your people are heroes in those moments. And those are big unifying moments generally. One more question, Gretchen, for you about, you know, how do you then sort of embed culture, you know, through a change like this and any shifts? How do you kind of make it feel real for people? And how do you kind of think about, you know, embedding those cultural changes or alignments over time?
Yep. Thank you, Matt. I mean, in this instance, but in many instances, the values were a very important tool. So part of that listening was also investigating the values of each of the utilities. Some were closer than others, but at the end of the day, the concepts that they were all interested in were very similar. Like maybe we've used a slightly different phrase here or a word here, but when we got down to it, there was a lot of similarity. So we did introduce a new set of values that was a singular set of Exelon values, mm-hmm. born from what was important to each of the utilities. And that was critical because that sort of, one, had everyone is signing up behind the same set of ideals and principles and mindsets about what we need to do every day. And, mm-hmm. and it really did pull them into linking the purpose, which, by the way, the employees also had input to the purpose. We showed and tested draft ideas around the purpose statement and so on. They were able to come in and say, yeah, we can see how these values and these behaviors will support that purpose. It was a really nice dialogue of them feeling like they had their part in the brand, but the values being a key way that they could connect those dots. We didn't stop with the values, and Jessica kind of mentioned it, like they got a sneak preview and they got like a kind of excitement and education before the brand launched externally. And then I know it's been a journey over the last couple of years, continuing to get people excited, reminding them, you know, what the brand is for and how they live it. Yeah. So it wasn't a one-time thing, but I believe that the values was a critical tool.
Perfect. Let's kind of fast forward to today and kind of look back a bit. I think it's just a really interesting conversation. I guess, Jessica, looking back, what were your biggest surprises, if any? Did you have any surprises throughout this process? We started with the unknowns and a lot of open questions, a lot of work, a lot of decision-making, bringing a lot of people on board. I guess just looking in the rearview mirror, what were some of your surprises and maybe what were some of your just high-level learnings having walked through this process?
I think some of the surprises really came from how many different parts of the organization, once we made this massive decision, right? Like we had come out of a meeting, we got the approval to go forward. We're so excited. And then like, it hits you like a ton of bricks in terms of, oh, now we actually have to execute this.
Right.
And we have to do it in a pretty quick way. We have a separation, a date looming, right? We can't stop the separation from happening. We know that's our opportunity to launch this. And so, by the way, we better start connecting with every single group and business department underneath the sun, because at the end of the day, the brand that we did have was everywhere. It actually was a great part of our culture. We love to put a logo on something. The downfall was now we had to undo all of those logos, right? And really re-educate. And we would, and like I said before, we would peel back one layer of the onion and we would find five other things that we didn't account for. And so that was, I mean, a pretty stressful time. We had made this decision. Of course, we had said, let's do this over 5 years. And everybody stacked hands and said, yes, let's do that. And, you know, day one rolled out and they're like, okay, is the rest done yet? And we're like, well, wait a second, we got 5 years. And they're like, no. Can all the signage needs to be updated this year? Okay, right. And so those types of things started happening really quickly in the past. The great part about it is the connections that we were able to develop with the different parts of the business as we had to change things actually have become way more beneficial in the environment now. So when I'm thinking through how do I deploy a new intranet or how am I rethinking the corporate websites and what that looks like, I actually know who those teams are because we've had to spend so much time with them from a brand perspective.
Got it.
We had totally new systems in terms of billing and all of those types of things. All of those conversations start to happen. And so you end up actually learning a lot about the business. And it was our opportunity to say, actually, hey, have we thought about this from a customer experience perspective? Or, how should we be presenting this in a way that supports our new brands? Those types of conversations were the byproduct of this. I think it was shocking to see how quickly the organization wanted to rebrand everything, despite fighting it up front.
Well, maybe some resistance, right? But you carefully plan out and these transition plans. But I think it's really interesting if there is organic energy and excitement around this change, how it can really get people to move maybe faster than they expected or embrace the change faster than they expected. It's also interesting to hear you talk about engaging with different parts of the organization through the process and how that, I guess, has enabled you to partner in new ways with different functions across Exelon.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're presenting to, we understand very clearly now when we are talking to our audiences, whether that's investors, whether that's legislators or regulators, we are putting our best visual foot forward and tying everything that we are saying and doing back to our brand values and our vision, because that clear and consistent message is what allows us to continue to move the needle on our reputation. It allows us to get the buy-in that we need in order to conduct the business that we need to do. And so that really, I think for the first time, was a new way of thinking about that. And it's been great. I think this was a forcing mechanism to do some of that work and break down some of the silos that we needed to.
Great. Jessica, I'll put you on the spot. You can take a pass if you want, but what's on the agenda for Exelon? I guess I'll ask it two parts. How has the story evolved over the past couple of years? And is there anything we might want to look out for from Exelon from a brand and communications point of view, from your Jessica's world in the years ahead?
Of course. I mean, we're getting ready to launch new homepages and websites for all of our utilities, as well as mobile apps. We have mobile apps, but really rethinking it in terms of the new brand and experience that we're trying to drive. That's extremely exciting. We have invested in a very large scale brand campaign on behalf of Exelon, which will show up in each of our key markets and especially in DC and highlight the work that each of our local operating companies are doing and how this all kind of leads to delivering on our purpose and ensuring that we're preparing the grid for the demands that are starting to trickle in and what we see coming in these next few years in terms of electrification. We haven't done that. We haven't invested from an Exelon brand perspective, from the parent company perspective, since I've been here in 10 years. We had a totally different vision for how a parent company acted prior to separation. And so that has been a really fun and exciting change. And of course, a whole set of new work. There's also reputation models and investment that we have made over the last 2 years now that we look the same to really be like, okay, what should we be consistently talking about? And what do we know drives the reputation that we have locally within each of these markets, but collectively from an Exelon level? And again, I think that all points back to our brand itself and the individual brands, the utilities are no longer fighting each other in the sense that they all look different or maybe sounded just slightly different from a tone perspective or how they showed up or the values that they talked about. So all really exciting things.
I love it. Great to hear. Looking forward to it. I want to just have some questions have come in and we'll just take just one or two of them. One question is, Gretchen, just from an employee engagement point of view, could you kind of outline what are your big learnings from this program? What were your takeaways?
Sure. Thanks, Matt. For me, the biggest one was about, you know, really taking that time to listen and the power of data, because by objectively collecting this information across the utilities and really outlining it and putting it on paper about what was similar and if there were any differences, we were able to get people over the line. And, you know, I don't know that we would have gotten there if we hadn't done that work and put it out there, you know, in a pretty objective, data-based way. That also really allowed us to uncover some nuggets of gold, I would call them. Like, I don't think we went into this knowing that there was a real DEI commitment that they thought a different brand identity could speak to. But lo and behold, once we got into it all and discovering that, it was really helpful because it was going to unlock some kind of value back to what the companies, operating companies and the utilities wanted to achieve. Things like, you know, the diversity angle or even the younger generation of talent angle as well. I don't think we know how acutely they wanted to reach different talent segments and how this brand work could do that until we went out and listened and talked to them and understood that better.
That's great. Thank you. I'll do one more. It's to Jessica. I'll give it to you. I love the work and seeing this program roll out. Looking back, what are you most proud of?
Looking back, I think I am most proud of being the entity that was able to convince their leadership that it was time for a new logo. And I think that in the utility industry as a whole, we're new to the idea of brand. And what it means to show up visually and the experience that we need to be offering our customers. For, you know, of course, it's a regulated business. But for so long, I think the industry hadn't been investing in that outward look and feel, that this was foreign to a lot of people. And so I'm most proud of all of the work that we've done to educate our partners across our business and then come together from a corporate communications and marketing team to really kind of drive some of this work at each local operating company. That has been, I think, really refreshing. And it's very exciting. We are thinking about how we recruit talent in a totally different way. Because we want people to come into the Exelon family, right? And thinking through what that looks like now that we share the common look and feel has been, I think, very helpful in forcing some of that change that was needed.
Yeah. It's exciting. I personally love hearing about, you know, the updates to customer experience and being able to kind of work on those in more of a shared way in terms of your, you know, apps and digital experience and really getting even closer to, you know, customers. I think that's really kind of the last mile, and it's really exciting to hear that you're kind of, you know, going there and you're ready to kind of take it directly to the people really that matter most. Well, I'd just like to say, you know, we're super proud of this work. Jessica, I really enjoyed working with you and Jason and so many other people on your team throughout this process. We're thrilled it's been a successful program for you. We're excited to see the brand continue to grow and develop. So on behalf of Siegel and Gale, thank you for joining us. Gretchen, thank you for joining today for a lively discussion. And a reminder to all of our listeners that you can listen to this conversation and all past episodes by subscribing to Siegel and Gale Says podcast on Apple. Thank you all so much. Really great conversation. I enjoyed it. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening. You can learn more about our work and read our thought leadership on SiegelGale.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen. While you're at it, leave us a review. See you next time.